Well, y'all probably noticed the stage looks a little different today. There's actually a reason for that. Some of you probably already know it. Some of you don't. I'm going to take a seat. I've had a busy week. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 1 again. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judea, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." We've been going through the book of Luke, and it's sort of like Christmas in, you know, March and April and all that kind of stuff, which is going to be fun when we hit the Easter. I was actually looking ahead, and I think it actually works, but we'll see how that goes. As a church, are going through a lot of changes. And it occurred to me, you know, that with all those changes going on, you know, there's a lot going on in everybody's lives and all that kind of stuff. Well, this week, for those of you that don't know, our secretary last week, her brother passed away. And so things were sort of up in the air with her. And then I got a call on Sunday that her son-in-law had a heart attack. And so she said, you know, he was having surgery on Friday, and normally Thursday and Friday is when I get her bulletin notes, and so she asked if she could get them early this week. And I said, no problem. Which should have automatically given me an idea that there was going to be a problem. Some of you may know I was fighting a cold last week. Well, some people have chewed me out for not going to the doctor sooner. I don't know. You know, when you get a cold, you take cold medicine and, you know, whatever happens. Well, I was trying to be careful because sometimes, for me, colds have gone into sinus infection. That ever happened to you? Good. I'm not alone. And believe me, I didn't say this to the first group. I don't believe necessarily in confessional preaching. I don't think everything that happens to me you need to know about. But this week it was really pretty interesting to me the way all of this worked out, because it seemed like as I was working on this passage, God was working on me. And he was telling me, hey, listen, this is what's going on in your life. This is what's going on in the life of your church. And you need to pay attention to it. So anyway, I had this thing, and then I'd already scheduled an appointment on Tuesday. I had to go get an MRI for my back. Some of you know I have back trouble. I think I have back trouble because I got belly trouble, but that's a different issue entirely. So they sent me for the MRI, and I was worried about the MRI. I was worried, you know, because they stick you in this little tube, and I thought, what if you can't breathe in there? Because I was having trouble breathing. And Tuesday morning came, and I had plans. My plan was to go get an MRI, and after I went to the MRI, go see my doctor. Sounds reasonable, right? I'd go get the MRI because it was early in the morning, and my doctor's right near there, and I thought, well, I'll go see him. Well, I did so well at the MRI. I could breathe. Everything was fine. I was feeling great. So I didn't go to the doctor. And yes, so that was a mistake. But who knew? I was feeling good. So instead, you know, I went back and started doing some other stuff, and that night, man, Tuesday night, I started getting sicker than a dog. And my head was pounding and things were gritting. And all of a sudden I realized what had been a cold had turned into a sinus infection. Well, that was bad enough. And by the time I got into the doctor that afternoon, apparently the sinus infection had turned into an ear infection. And by the time they gave me the medicine for the sinus infection and the ear infection, my eardrum burst. Oh, thank you. Did somebody just groan at that? I appreciate that. Nobody else groaned this morning. I can't hear you. This is this ear. I'm just saying, you can. That side of the room can heckle me all at once. I have no idea what you're saying. Bobby, that wasn't an invitation. No, I really, I can't hear. They've got me on steroids, which make me sort of jittery, and they've got me on antibiotics, which makes my stomach upset, and so I am not having the world's best week. And so Wednesday, this is when all this stuff is happening. And I'm telling you, I'm not able to do anything. I cannot do anything. I am laying there feeling like somebody has stuck a hot needle in my ear, and they're not just sticking it in there, they're heating it up and sticking it in again and again, you know, that kind of thing. And I got to thinking, I got a sermon to write. You know, I got work to do. You can't just quit, right? And then I started looking at these passages and I realized Mary had sort of a similar problem. Now, she wasn't sick. She was pregnant. But Mary was pregnant at the wrong time. She wasn't married yet. And in those days, if you were a young Jewish girl and you were pregnant before you got married, what did they do to you? They threw rocks at you. That's not a good thing. So I thought, you know, here she's, and you know, I'm sure she thought things were going well. I was sitting here, you know, I was sitting there last week. I was thinking, man, we're going to two services on Tuesday. I was thinking my cold's getting better. Things are going well. And then it just sort of fell apart. And I thought Mary probably thought the same thing. Mary's probably sitting there going, you know what? I'm getting married to Joseph. You know, things are going well. Everything's going to be great. You know, an angel appeared to me. And then she realized, you know, got to thinking about what the angel said. And she's like, I'm in trouble. And so what did she do? What did Mary do? The first thing she did was she ran to someone who would understand. So when we're going through troubles and when we're going through trials and when we're going through things and when we're getting ready to take that leap of faith, because the title of the sermon is Taking a Leap of Faith. And I just want to tell you, taking a leap of faith is not always comfortable. Next week, we're going to be taking a vote and, you know, talking about spending, you know, $55,000, $60,000. Y'all comfortable with that? I mean, that's... You know, now listen, I do want to tell you, I'm comfortable in that it's God's money and He wants to do that, you know, He wants to do good things. But we need to be listening. That's a leap of faith. That's saying, hey, we're going somewhere. We're getting something. Going to two services. Man, that's a leap of faith. You know, filling up the pews, asking people, hey, invite your friends and neighbors for Easter. Making some changes. We did the Reimagining Sunday School seminar last week. And talking about some of those things and starting to implement some of those things so that we can grow our Sunday school. Man, those are leaps of faith. It's just saying, you know what, we believe God's working and we just want to hitch our wagon to His. And wherever He's going, we're along for the ride. Any of y'all ever ride in a wagon? I mean, a real wagon? Sometimes the road gets kind of bumpy, doesn't it? And sometimes that road, that leap of faith, gets a little bumpy. So we need to run to those understand. In those days, it said Mary rose and went with haste. I like that. She went with haste to the hill country. She ran to see Zechariah and Elizabeth. You remember what the angel said in the passage before? If you wonder why I'm sitting down, sometimes because of the ear thing, I get a little dizzy. And so I thought I needed a place to plop myself down so I didn't get going too far. For me right now, I guess it's because it's this ear, I lean to the left. So if you see me fading off this way, just say, grab the chair, okay? But the angel had told her that Elizabeth, her cousin, was going to have a baby. And so the first place she went was to see Elizabeth, to see somebody who was going through the same kind of thing she was, to see somebody who could understand what she was going through. We need to run to those who understand. You know, when we're struggling with things, when we're hurting, this week I've gotten some calls from people who, one fella, God bless him, he called and I mentioned my eardrum burst and they said, oh, that happened, you know, or no, I mentioned the dizziness and he said, oh, that happened to somebody he knew and they had it for 2 years. I guess he understood. But just in case you're wondering, sometimes if you know something bad about something that somebody's dealing with, they don't want to know it too. Just saying. So, you run to those who understand. In the Old Testament, there's a story. You may not remember this, but there was a prophet named Eli. And a little boy named Samuel was left to live with Eli. He was a promise of God. And so he went to live with Eli when he was very young. And Samuel went to bed one night. Now, this is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 through 9. It's up on the screens there. The Lord called Samuel and said, "Here I am." All of a sudden, the Lord started speaking to Samuel. And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went again and laid down. And the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, I did not call you. Now lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He didn't understand what was going on. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He needed somebody to show him what was going on. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli, the prophet, finally figured out what was going on. And Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lay down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears you.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. See, he had to run to somebody who understood. He ran to Eli, who could understand what was going on. Now, we've got changes going on in the church. Anybody here, you wake up in the morning and say, "Boy, I hope 15 things change today." Okay? I mean, unless we're, you know, I think we sort of like it if we buy a new car, but that's about it, right? We don't like change. But here's the thing. God's not in the business of keeping us in our comfort zone. God's in the business of moving us forward, of giving us direction, of giving us a purpose. And he wants us to understand those things. And so he tells us to go and learn from those who've been there before. I've been trying to share some stuff with our deacons and some of those things about, you know, how we cope with change, about how we try not to do too many things too fast. And some of you are probably saying today, "We're doing a lot awful fast." Yeah, we are. But it's not us. We're, you know, God's working and we're just trying to catch up. We need to listen to what God's doing. We need to stick along with it. We need to catch up with it. You know, if we're going to be serious about what we do, then we need to act, right? If we see an issue, we need to act on it. If we see a problem, we should act on it, right? So, for example, if a man falls into a pit and can't get himself out, a subjective person comes along and says, "I feel for you down there," which is helpful. I think I told the morning group this a few years ago. Teresa was at U of L, and I don't remember if somebody passed away or some terrible thing happened to this family, and somebody sent this very feeling note telling him what was going on and says, "Please keep so-and-so in your thoughts." Doesn't that sound great? But I just want you to know, your thoughts can't help anybody. Now, your prayers can make a difference. But your thoughts can't really help anybody. We've come to a world where we think, or we've been taught, that just thinking about something makes a difference in it. Thinking about things doesn't make a difference. Doing something does. And sometimes what we do by going to prayer is we call on the power of God Himself to get involved. Anyway, so a subjective person says, "I feel for you down there." An objective person walked by and said, "It's logical that someone would fall down into a pit that just happened to be there." The Pharisee would say, "Only bad people fall into pits." A mathematician would walk by and calculate how deep the pit was. A news reporter wanted the exact story on the pit. Have you ever watched news reporters at crisis scenes with their cameras and wondered why they don't just reach out and give somebody a hand? An IRS agent walked by and asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. A self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." Fire and brimstone preacher said, "You deserve your pit." Christian scientist said, The pit is only in your mind. Psychologists noticed your mother and father must be to blame for your being in that pit. The self-esteem therapist said, believe in yourself and you can get out of the pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist claimed, things will get worse. But a compassionate Christian would come upon that person in the pit and seeing the man and thinking about Jesus, what Jesus would want him to do, would reach down and take him by the hand and lift him up out of the pit. See, we need to act the way Jesus would act, and we need to act in accordance with what God would want us to do. We need to run to those who can help us out. Number two, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how this works. Apparently, babies and moms can be filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. I think that's amazing. Zechariah chapter 4 says this. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In John chapter 3, it says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. If we're going to move ahead with God, then we need to recognize that we are children born of the Spirit. And we need to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And we need to expect the Holy Spirit to move among us. Mary just sort of went to visit her cousin. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was there. It's sort of like Mary received this visitation from the angel, got a little hint. The hint sort of said, go visit your cousin. She took the hint, she went, and God spoke through that moment. Now I'm going to tell you, where's my wife sitting? There she is. My wife is really good at this. My wife is really good at when the Spirit gives her a hint, just going and doing stuff. Maybe you've got somebody like that in your life. She's a great example to me of that. She's much better at it than I am. The other day, she was so tired probably from taking care of me. She stayed home Thursday to take care of me. I'm sorry, honey. But she stayed home to take care of me, and she'd been doing stuff around the house, and I was sitting in the living room, and she was staring out the window, and she stood there, and she sort of said, doggone it. And I was like, what? What happened? She said, she mentioned one of our neighbors is out. And I said, so? Yeah, but I feel like I ought to go talk to her. And I'm really tired. I was like, okay. Then she said, God does things like that to me sometimes. You know, sort of like that reluctant hero kind of thing. And finally she just grabbed the doorknob and walked out, you know, and went over and talked to the lady and came back. And, you know, nothing earth-shattering happened, but... You know, there's a bridge there. There's a building happening there that wouldn't be happening there otherwise. We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. We've got to listen to it. Charles Swindoll, in his book, Growing Strong in the Seasons of Life, tells about the agnostic Thomas Huxley, who said that he was in Dublin and rushing to catch a train. He climbed aboard one of Dublin's famous horse-drawn taxis and said to the driver, hurry, I'm almost late. Drive fast. Off they went at a furious pace. Huxley sat back in his seat and closed his eyes. After a while, Huxley opened his eyes and glanced out the window to notice they were going in the wrong direction. Realizing that he hadn't told the driver where to take him, he called out, do you know where you're going? And the driver replied, no, Your Honor, but I'm driving as fast as I can. You know, a lot of times we're sort of like that in the church, and I want us to be real careful. A lot of times we're sort of like that in our lives. We have this idea that we need to be doing something, and so we jump on and we want to go as fast as we can, but we don't have any idea the direction we're going, and this is why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And so Elizabeth and Mary meet, and the Holy Spirit is there, and that's one of those confirmations that you know because the Holy Spirit's there that something's going right, that they're making the right choices, that they've done the right things, and God's working through that. And if I look around here and I realize as I'm reading this passage, I'm thinking about what's been going on in my life this week, I'm thinking God's telling me a few things. For example, one of the things he's telling me is that I need to rely on the Holy Spirit because I'm going to have weeks where I can't think straight. I'm going to have weeks where everything seems to be going wrong and where the best I can do is pull a 3-point sermon out of here and hope that by the time I get to Sunday morning, God puts it together in my head so that it means something. Because if we're moving the church forward because of something I'm doing, then we're moving the church forward for the wrong reasons. If we're moving the church forward because of something Jared does, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. If we're moving the church forward, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit and He's moving it forward, then Jared and I are just hanging on for dear life and hoping we make the right choices along the way. And we're praying that the deacons are doing the right things and that our Sunday school teachers are doing the right things and that we're just grabbing on and hanging on for dear life. And it is the ride of a lifetime and I wouldn't miss it for the world. But you got to hang on. Because it's going to go where God wants it to go. Bill Bright tells the story of the oil field called Yates Pool. During the Depression, it was a sheep farm owned by a man named Yates. And Mr. Yates was broke. He couldn't make enough money ranching. He couldn't pay his bill. He was in danger of losing his ranch. He had to live on a government subsidy just to make it every day. And as he grazed his sheep, he was really wondering how he was going to pay his bills. And one day, a crew from an oil company came by and told him there might be oil on his land and asked him if they could drill. Well, he said, sure. He signed a lease contract. At about 1,100 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The very first well came at 80,000 barrels a day. Now, I don't know what that means now, but I know that sometimes recently oil's been $100 a barrel. I don't think it is now. But let's just say oil's $100 a barrel, right? 80,000 barrels. Somebody want to do the math for me? $8 million a day? Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed that it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels a day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. He owned it all. The day he purchased it, he had the mineral rights. He'd been living on relief. He was a multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem is he didn't know that it was right there even though he owned it. And a lot of Christians and a lot of churches live in spiritual poverty because they have the riches of God all around them. But they don't tap into it. They don't realize it's there. They don't let it flow through their lives. They don't look for where God is working. They don't look for what God is doing. And when they see God doing something, instead of grabbing hold of it, they put the brakes on and say, wait a minute, God, I'm not sure I want to go there with you. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to let it speak into our lives. We need to let it move with us. And as a church, we need to move forward with it. And like Mary, sometimes we need to be so thankful when there's confirmation from someone we've run to. And finally, we need to receive that blessing of faith. And she, Elizabeth, exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You know, I found this quote, and I think it works for men and for women. It says, a strong woman works out every day to keep her body in shape, but a woman of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong woman isn't afraid of anything, but a woman of strength shows courage in the midst of her fear. A strong woman won't let anyone get the best of her, but a woman of strength gives the best of herself to everyone. A strong woman makes mistakes and avoids the same in the future. A woman of strength realizes life's mistakes can also be God's blessings and capitalizes on them. A strong woman walks sure-footedly. A woman of strength knows God will catch her when she falls. A strong woman wears the look of confidence on her face, but a woman of strength wears grace. A strong woman has faith that she is strong enough for the journey. A woman of strength has faith that it is in the journey that she will become strong. Mary was on a journey. She did not know where it would end up. I mean, she had the promise of the angel and she knew she was going to have the baby. And can you imagine what might have been going through her head? The angel says, "You're going to have a child. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit and it'll be the Savior of the world." Most of us are overwhelmed when the doc says, "You're going to have a baby." In John 14, it says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you that whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Now that's not a blanket check because it's written in the right context and you have to take it into context. What it's saying is that if we rely on the Holy Spirit and if we get on the right page and if we're looking for the blessings of God and we hook into them, then when we start praying and asking, "God bless our church, God bless our family, God bless our homes." When we say, "God, open doors for faith for people." When we start saying, "Lord, we need to make space in our sanctuary because it's getting overfilled. Look around, there's space this morning." When we start saying those things, we start saying to God, "I'm along for the ride and I'm ready for the blessing." You know what blessing means? You've heard the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those, blessed are those." Do you know what blessed means? It means happy. God wants us to be happy, and the way that we find happiness is not by hiding away, it's not by running away from what God wants us to do, it's by grabbing on and holding on for all our worth and going along for the ride and seeing where it takes us. Anybody here ever go to like a amusement park like Kings Island, Disneyland, Disney World, anything like that? Anybody ever been someplace like that? Do you like riding the rides? I know there are some people who hate riding the rides. There's a movie a few years ago back called Parenthood. Do you remember Parenthood, Steve Martin movie? There was a scene in that movie where Steve Martin's one of these anxious guys. The roller coaster frightens him to death. And then his wife is one of those people, she loves the roller coaster. And so they're sort of talking about life, and as they're talking about it, they show their faces like they're on a roller coaster. And you see Steve Martin's face is scared to death. And he's holding on for dear life. And he can't wait for it to end. And his wife is laughing and full of joy. And they're living the same life. But one of them is getting the blessing. And the other one's holding back. I think Mary went to see Elizabeth. And I think Mary, we'll talk about Mary's song next week and some of those other things, but I think Mary, she was sitting on the roller coaster and she was ready to throw her hands up and scream for joy. And I think some of you here today are looking at the things that are going around us and you're ready to scream for joy. And others are sort of like you're wanting to grab the front of the pew in front of you and say, "Wait a minute, I don't know if I'm ready for this." I understand. It's a leap of faith. It's a leap of faith. Mary was blessed because she believed. We have the opportunity to believe and to move forward. Let's pray together. Father, faith is such a simple word, 5 letters. But Lord, it changes our lives. And Lord, faith in you is a faith that will change our lives forever. not just in this life, not just in these days, but Lord, for all eternity to come. And Lord, we're talking about the story of how you came into the world and about the birth of John the Baptist and about your birth and about Mary and Elizabeth, their parents. And Lord, I'm amazed at the faith that they had. Father, may we be people of such faith. May we first of all be people who have the faith to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, born to the Virgin Mary, raised to live a perfect life, willing to go to the cross and die for us. You are the Son of the living God, our sacrifice for all our rebellion, for all our sin, for all the things we ought not have done that we did. For all the things that we didn't do that we should have. And Lord, you rose again the third day. And by faith we believe. Lord, maybe there's someone here who needs that message, who needs to know. Father, I just ask today that as we share this invitation, that your Spirit would move among us, that those who need to trust you would trust you, that they would come to faith, that they would let go of the seat in front of them and stop holding on to what was in the past and start reaching out for what's in the future. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? This is your opportunity. This is your invitation. This is when God calls you and says, if you need to trust Christ, if you need to lay aside a burden, if you need to say, Lord, I've been struggling with belief myself and I want to get it right. The altar's open. You come as we sing.